I normally do a series on Sunday morning, a different one Sunday night, different one Wednesday night when I'm preaching on series. But the Holy Spirit has directed me to just keep on this series of healing on all the services all the way through the series. So we've been doing that. And I'm going to be teaching this morning on the subject of healing, how to receive the healing, how healing comes to us. At the end of the message, the last point that I'm going to get into is one that I am starting to get some revelation on that's a little bit different than I've received before. I'll tell you right now that I'm not going to get into it very far, but I will touch on it somewhat, just like I did in the first service. But it was, you know, last night, it seemed like the Holy Spirit was working this in me all night long. I'd wake up and I'd go to sleep, wake up and go to sleep. And every time I'd wake up, I'd be in the middle of working through this message and this point that the Holy Spirit has been giving me. But the first part of the message on how to receive your healing, I'm using a very simple outline that God gave to Kenneth Hagin. Now, while he gave him the outline, you get the book and read his book. I'm not going to preach his sermon on it. I'm just going to use the outline that the Lord gave him. And the outline comes out of this particular message of the woman with the issue of blood. There's four steps that God gave to Kenneth Hagin. And this is what God told Kenneth Hagin. He said, if a person will follow these four steps, in these four steps you can write your own ticket with God. And that's what he's titled the sermon, Write Your Own Ticket with God, or How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. I think we have the book in the bookstore. The book is available. And you look it up and read his sermon, because his sermon on it is good. Came directly from the Lord. But there are four points if we're going to receive the healing into our bodies. There are four points that God gives to us here in this miracle with the woman with the issue of blood. Now, the truth is that if you study any of the other miracles, you'll find these four points are given in most of them. The same four points are given there. The same four points can be followed. What we're going to find again and again as we study the subject of healing is that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We've got to come to God knowing that He is, knowing that He's able, and knowing that He's willing, knowing that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we don't come to God with those two things settled, then let not that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. You've got to believe that God is a liberal giver, and if you don't believe that, you're not going to receive anything from God. So we've got to come in those points of faith. Now, whichever method, Wednesday night, I preached on seven methods for receiving your healing. We're not limited to one. Some people will limit it to one in their own mind. They feel that the only way they can get their healing is if somebody anoints them with oil, or some believe that they've got to come into a prayer line, or some believe that they've just got to tough it out, pray on their own, and walk it out praying on their own. Whatever it is, there are various ideas that people have. But I gave in that message seven ways to receive your healing. Now, also, the last time I preached a series on healing, I gave in that series 20 steps, I believe it was, 20 steps to receiving your healing, 20 different ways that you could receive the healing. But I've just brought it right down to seven steps that we can use to receive our healing. But underlying every one of those steps is faith. Without faith, it's impossible. If we're going to receive our healing, we're going to have to come by faith. We're going to have to receive it by faith. We're going to have to pray in faith. Faith has to be involved in order to receive what we need from the Lord. Now, the truth of the matter is, there are mercy healings. There are those healings that God does just a mercy healing. I mean, out of nowhere, it seems, where there isn't any faith. Sometimes people think, well, I must have faith because I got what I prayed for. But there really isn't that faith involved. I don't think I've told this story for years, but I was telling somebody just a couple of days ago, and it stirred the story back up in me. We were fairly early in our ministry. This has probably been 25 years ago, something like that, roughly. And we're fairly early in our ministry. We got a call one day to come to the hospital, and it was an emergency call. We didn't know much of anything that was going on, but it was a young couple who were in the church that we were pastoring. We got to the hospital, and we went into the room, and the room was very dark. The shades were pulled. There was a dim light on. And the boy that was in the bed was about the age of my son, Thad, at that particular time, which was somewhere around 3 to 4 years of age. We said, what happened? What's going on here? They said, well, he just came out of surgery. They said, he was playing yesterday. It was a very simple thing. This is why you need angels to watch over your children. You don't need to live in fear of your children. You just need to put the angels in charge of them. Because you never know what's going to happen in the natural realm. And thank God we have angels that are in charge of our children and can protect them and watch over them. This child was playing and fell on a stick. I mean, that's all it amounted to. He fell on a stick. I said, did he puncture his body? They said, no, but he burst his pancreas. And the pancreas is what digests your food. So the pancreas was internally digesting him. Well, he had done that the evening before. He was in such tremendous pain. They brought him into the hospital, and they rushed him into surgery, opened him up, and they found that the pancreas was burst open. They said it's already digested part of his intestines. He'll never have another bowel movement. They said, as a matter of fact, we can't promise you beyond just a few hours of his life, he'll be dead very soon, so we want you to prepare yourself for it. There isn't anything that we can do. Well, as I stood over the bed and we prayed, I didn't understand the prayer of faith. I didn't know much of anything about praying the prayer of faith or how to pray. And I must admit that I did not know how to pray the prayer of faith, and I didn't pray with a lot of faith. All I prayed with was empathy. This boy was the age of my son. And I couldn't help the thought going through my mind that we could be the couple standing on the other side of the bed. It could be our son that fell on a stick. It could be our son that was dying. And the empathy just about overtook me. I prayed. They were broken. I mean, you can imagine. The boy's a healthy boy. Yesterday falls in a stick, and now he's come out of surgery, and they're telling you that within moments he's going to be dead, within hours. And I prayed. We prayed as quickly as we could, and we tried to not act like we were rushing away, but we did rush away. And I went to the church and spent several hours in prayer. Not a prayer of faith, a prayer of calling out for God for mercy. And I spent probably at least 2 hours that I just walked in the auditorium and prayed. And that empathy, I kept telling the Lord, Lord, that could be my son there. It's not. I'm thankful that it's not my son, but it's their son. And an hour later, he asked for a sloppy Joe and a malt. And I mean, if he wouldn't have, if they would have known that he was healed, they wouldn't have given that to him, just a matter of a couple hours after surgery. That night he had a bowel movement, which he was never going to have again because his intestines were deteriorated. And the doctor came in the next day, and he had the boy had a sparkle in his eyes, and he was starting to sit up and play. And they said to the doctor, what's happening? The doctor absolutely wouldn't talk to them. He wouldn't answer them. He wouldn't communicate with them at all. They said, doctor, what's going on? He wouldn't say anything. The next day, he was better yet, and they couldn't understand it. Third day, he was better yet. And about the end of the third day, he took a turn for the worse. And as a matter of fact, it was a serious turn for the worse. He got deathly ill. So they rushed him back into surgery. When they opened him up, there was no hope for this boy. I mean, there was no hope for him. They sewed him up to die. And when they sewed him up to die, they sewed the intestines into the incision accidentally. So his intestines were cut off, and that was what his problem was now. So you got plenty of intestines. They cut off a section, put him back together again. And while they were in there, they checked Humpty Dumpty's egg, and the pancreas was whole. The pancreas was back together again. And that boy lived on through that experience healthy and whole because God healed him. And I say this not because of my faith. Because my faith wasn't there. All I did is cry out for the mercy of God and intercede. I just went to stand in the gap. But listen, beloved, we can't trust in those kind of things. The only thing that really can be trusted in, the only thing that's really going to move the hand of God, is when we pray the prayer of faith. So we've got to learn how to walk by faith, how to pray in faith, so that we can move the hand of God in our behalf. I believe that one of the major reasons God does mercy healings, and I see Him do them every now and then. I see Him do them in people's lives. I believe He's trying to teach us. You're not going to live by mercy healings. You're not going to live by them. Occasionally you will see one where in spite of your lack of faith, God's going to undertake. But if you want to know that you're going to receive what you need from God, you've got to learn how to walk in faith and how to receive what God has provided by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You're not going to receive it if you don't learn how to walk it by faith. Amen? Are you with me? Now, let's go here and read this parable about the... it's not a parable. I've stumbled on that all morning. I don't know why I keep saying parable. It's a miracle that Jesus does. Mark chapter 5. Now, the miracle actually starts in verse number 21, but we're going to start reading in verse 26. If you read from 21 through 25, you'll find that it just talks about him coming to Jairus, coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to come. He said, if you come, I know my daughter will be healed. Well, you say, how's that a part of this miracle? It's a part because that's why the crowd starts to grow. There's an intense crowd that has grown here around Jesus. I love the writing of the book of Mark. If you study it in the Greek, it is so picturesque. In the English, as we read this parable, we read about the crowd, and the King James translation uses words like the press or the throng. If you study it in the Greek uses words like philipsis. Philipsis is a word that's used to mean being crushed like a grape. It's a word that means being crushed, and here we have it translated as pressed, and we see the throng, the press that's around Jesus. And we understand that as Jesus is now walking down the street, there is a major crowd that is gathered around Him, and they're not just gathered around Him, they're pressed in like you'd press to squeeze a grape. They're pressed in together, and there's an intense crowd that has grown around Jesus. Verse 25 says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now, we're not going to spend time talking about her condition. I've spent time in other sermons talking about that. I'm not going to do that this morning. Only suffice it to say that the woman, she had a 12-year-long condition where she constantly flowed. The blood constantly flowed. She just constantly was flowing, constantly hemorrhaging. Well, you can imagine what she's like after 12 years of that. She's anemic. She's weak. She's gone to doctor after doctor, suffered many things of many physicians. She's no better, but she's growing worse. Then add on top of that the fact that the woman with an issue of blood was unclean just like a leper. She had an uncleanness just like a leper so that nobody could touch her. If they touched her, they became unclean. If she sat on a chair, nobody else could sit on that chair. If they sat on that chair where she laid on a bed, anybody else laid on that bed, they would be unclean. So she was unclean 12 years. I mean, all the conditions that are involved in that, we're not going into, but I want you to understand this. The woman's condition is serious. She needs a healing touch. She needs help from Jesus. Now, verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. In miracle after miracle that we have studied during this series on healing, we see that line continually being given to us. When they heard about Jesus. When they heard. When they heard. When they heard. And that is so important because that always comes in the miracle. In the miracle comes the hearing because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now listen, faith always comes, whatever you believe comes by your hearing. As you begin to hear things, it develops your believing for whatever you're hearing. That's one of the problems that fights us in the spirit realm, is we hear so much in the natural realm. And we need to tune in the spirit realm and listen to the Word of God and let our hearing be what God says. Amen. When we come to a testimony service, for example, and somebody begins to testify and tell what Jesus has done in their lives, that's what's happened to this woman. I doubt seriously that she had ever heard Jesus preach a sermon. She may have, but it sounds as though what she's heard is just people talking about the power of Jesus. She heard somebody saying that I used to be deaf and now I can hear because Jesus touched me and opened my ears. She heard somebody else saying that they were once lepers and Jesus touched them and now they're clean. And others, I was once blind, Jesus touched me and now I can see. Others, I had pain that racked my body when Jesus touched me. I was totally healed of that. And when she kept hearing and hearing. Now she didn't hear somebody preaching the Word. She may have heard somebody talking about some of the words of Jesus. But what she was hearing was that this Word is truth. And that this Word works in our lives. The reason there are so few churches and so few believers that are receiving healing today is because there are so few churches that are telling it. And there are so few that are sharing testimonies of how they were healed. If we could go into the most religious church in this town today and have the opportunity and be told, you come in and share whatever you want to preach, do it. Oh boy, would we have a ball. And just come in and do whatever you want to do. Preach whatever you want to preach. And we started preaching the healing power of God. And then I would have one stand up and they would say, yes, I had such and such wrong with me, and the Lord healed me, and I have a clean bill of health. And another one would stand and testify of their healing. Faith would begin to arise, no matter how religious that church was. There may be some that would reject it and some that would walk out without it, but faith would arise when they would start seeing people that had received the healing and hearing the testimony of the healing power of God actually working in their lives. Amen. That's what this woman is hearing. She's hearing about the Word. She's hearing about Jesus' healing. That's why it's important that we share what Jesus does in when He heals us. Amen? Amen. Now, let's read through the rest of this, and then we'll come back and I'll lay it out. It says, "For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue or anointing had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, when I talked to you last week about blind Bartimaeus, I showed you that Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Your faith hath made you whole." Here to the woman with the issue of blood, "Your faith hath made you whole." He doesn't say, "My power has made you whole." He doesn't say, "Because your need is so great and you're persistent, it's made you whole." What made them whole was their faith. They believed God. So once again, if there's a process of things that this woman did that Jesus recognized and commended as great faith, such great faith that it would heal her of a condition that she had suffered for 12 years, a condition that only continued to get worse, then we need to know, what did this woman do that Jesus counted as great faith, so we can put that great faith into motion in our own lives. Amen? Amen. So the four steps that we're going to look at are what this woman did. And again, I just want to accent this, that it was as Kenneth Hagin was praying one day, he had a visitation from Jesus. And in that visitation from Jesus, Jesus gave him this four-point outline and said that anybody who does this can write their own ticket with God. And so if that's the case, then we want to know what these four things are, right? And I'm going to preach my own sermon to the outline that the Lord gave to him. But it follows those four things. Number one, she said it. And we already looked at this, but let's look at it again. For she said, in verse number 28, "For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." If I may touch. She said this. Now, many of you have heard me preach this before, but I want to bring out the point because it's so important to this, that if you look this up in the Greek, and if you have a way to look it up, look it up. Check it out. Look it up in the Greek Hebrew Bible where it tells you the verb endings and what the verbs are that are used there. And you'll find that the tense of this verb is saying something different than what our King James translation says. It says, "For she said." But in the original Greek, it says, "For she kept on saying." Some of your Bible translations have it that way. The Amplified has it that way. It's much more correct. How many of you have a Bible translation that says that she kept on saying in one way or another? Yeah, there's a bunch of you. And that's what actually is going on. She didn't say it one time. I believe that probably when she first heard about it, the light came on and she said, "Why, if I could touch but His clothes, I'd be whole." Why would she say, "Touch His clothes"? Because I can't go to this rabbi. I can't go to this Jewish teacher. I'm unclean. How can I go to him and ask him to touch me? But if his touch heals, if I could touch but his clothes, I'd be made whole. And so she kept on saying it. If I could touch but his clothes, I'd be made whole. And then when she gets into the situation where she sees the crowd, and Jesus is in the crowd, and Jesus is now actually where she's at, she's saying it again. Why, if I could touch but his clothes, I'd be whole. If I could touch but his clothes, I would be made whole. And she said it, and she kept on saying it. Beloved, I cannot accent to you how important it is what you say in relationship to what you have. If you're going to walk in victory, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 that life and death are in the power of the tongue. I've given the illustration once or twice here in the last couple of weeks, but I want to give it again. That when you have a bullet or a shell, a shotgun shell, they're absolutely no good until they come in touch with the firing pin. When the firing pin strikes that bullet or that shotgun shell, that's when the power of it takes off. Now see, beloved, that we understand that that's exactly the way our words are. We have creative words that come out of our mouths. What comes out of your mouth has creative force. And when you put faith behind those words that come out of your mouth, they become powerful words that'll change the course of your life. Read James chapter 3 and read it with the understanding that James is a faith book. And when you read it understanding that James chapter 3 is talking about faith in action, faith that talks, faith that says, faith that comes under control. It says, he that bridles his tongue can bridle the whole course of his life. You can change the course of nature by changing and controlling your tongue. When we start to speak the Word and speak what the Word of God says, and we ignite faith in our hearts behind it, it is creative word that can change the course of your life, can change the direction of your life. You remember, our goal here is not simply a goal that we want to be healed. The Word of God says in 3 John verse number 2, I would above all things that you prosper. And it doesn't say prosper and be healed, does it? It says prosper and be in health. Now if you're not in health, then you need to be healed to get in health. But His will is that you prosper and be in health. We need to learn the power of the words that come out of our mouths. And we need to speak only power-filled words that are in line and in agreement with the Word of God. I was watching World Harvest Television yesterday, which is out of South Bend, Indiana, and it was Lester Sumrall's station. There was a program on there. This woman and a man were talking, and they were talking about health and so on. And just happened, I was channel surfing and in through there, and I happened to catch this program. But they made statement about this woman who died recently, I guess. I guess her death was recently, at 129 years of age. And when she's 100 years old, she rode her bicycle all over town to thank people who had personally sent her a birthday card. And so it wasn't just that she hung on till the end. It's that this woman lived with vitality and health in her life. Well, you know, the Bible promises us that we have long life. Dino and a couple of the other pastors were just recently at Kenneth Hagin's pastor's seminar. And Dino made the statement to me. He said it was unbelievable to look at Kenneth Hagin. He doesn't look like... How old is he? 81? He said there's no way that he looks that age. Well, Kenneth Hagin is walking this thing by faith, same as he has everything else in his life. Years ago, he told many of the Voice of Healing preachers, he told them, I'll be alive a long time after you men are gone. Now, that's quite a statement to make, but then he explained to them why. I mean, any one of them could have taken up the same project, and that is that he walks by the word of faith, he walks by faith, and the others were walking by gifts and anointings and not by faith. Beloved, that's why what I'm teaching you is so important to you. You may come up here and the gift of healing operates and you walk back without the pain in your body or without the sickness in your body, but you got to know how to walk by faith, or when the devil tries to bring it back, you'll just have it right back. You'll have just had a recess from it. We want more than a break. We want to walk in the healing. Amen? God promises us long life. It's amazing to me, though. You know, I mean, you watch people, they just talk old age and talk all the things that come with old age. I don't talk that stuff. That's not my vocabulary anymore. You know, I mean, people joke about getting old and they use all the jokes on themselves. We go down to Brownsville, and that's where a lot of snowbirds go. You know what snowbirds are, don't you? They're the ones that live up north and they go south in the winter. And most of them, probably almost all of them, if not all of them, are retired people. And it's amazing to see those retired people driving down the highway that are probably about my age. Some of them have retired early. I'm about 9 years from normal retirement age, 56. But there's a lot of them that are retiring at 55 and are heading off to the hills to become old and retire and sit by the ocean or something. You know what I'm saying? And it's humorous to me because I have no intention of retiring. None at all. As a matter of fact, if Jesus tarries, I'm going to still be here as long as Jesus tarries there for at least a number of years. I'm not going to leave here until I'm at least 90 or 100. And I plan to minister the whole time I'm here. Now, if Jesus comes sooner, then I'm going. Amen? But until otherwise, He said He'd give me long life till He's satisfied. I will satisfy you with long life. Well, if I'm not satisfied yet, then He hasn't satisfied me with long life, has He? Amen. Is anybody here listening to me? Amen. But when you start talking about all those things of old age, you know, like you got all the signs of old age, you got baldness, bifocals, belly and bunions, ha, 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 getting old, you know. And when you get old, the first thing that goes is your memory and the rest of things, I can't remember, ha, ha, I'm getting old. And, you know, and then they make up these jokes. Have you ever read any of those jokes? You know you're old when? And so they go over all these jokes. You know you're old when? I don't even fool with that stuff. That doesn't have anything to do with me. That may have to do with this life and this world, but it has absolutely nothing to do with me. I stand on the Word of God that says He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed with like the eagles. He doesn't fill my mouth with all that garbage about getting old and dying young. You'll never hear me say, well, you never know when your number's up. You never know when you're going to check out. You never know. You don't hear me say that kind of thing because I have a covenant with a God of covenants who keeps His covenants to 1,000 generations. And I believe what He said. And He gives me good things to say out of my mouth. Where does He give them from? He gives them right in here. All I have to do is say the good things out of my mouth that He gives me here. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. What you say is what you get. And it is important for us to learn the secret of saying what God says. And we talk about health. That's what we talk about. We don't talk sickness. Well, this world, I talk back to the world. Amen? Now listen to me. You don't want to make people mad. That's not your goal. You want to win people. And when you're around people and they can hear you, you have to take a little care about what you say. When they're talking about the flu, you know, then they're saying, well, it's flu season, you know, and the flu's going around. If I'm with somebody that wouldn't understand, I don't say anything to them. I might say something like, well, it's been years since I've had the flu. I don't plan on getting it this year. You know, I might say something like that, but I'm not going to just try to agitate them. But if they're on television telling me it's flu season, I'll talk to them. I say to them, it's not flu season in this house. We don't get the flu here, you know. And when they start talking about all that sickness and all the things that are going to happen to you because you're getting older, you know, you just start to fall apart when you get older, you know. Our pieces of our body stop working, you know. Well, that's why He renews our youth. Like He renews. Because then we don't have to worry that some part's going to stop working before we're done with it. Amen? He satisfies our mouths with good things. And we need to speak forth what God said in His Word. Say what God says in His Word and not say what the world says. Amen? And when they start telling you about all this high blood pressure stuff and all that kind of stuff, you just talk to it and say, we don't have any of that around here. We don't receive that kind of stuff in this home, this family. None of us receive that here. We don't have that here. You say what the Word of God says. The first step to receiving your miracle is you say it. If you're here this morning with a need of healing in your body, you need to begin to say within yourself right now, when they have a healing line this morning, I'm going to go up and I'm going to receive my healing. When He touches me in prayer, I'm going to receive my healing. This need's going to go, and it's going to go today. You need to start to say it. Just like this woman with the issue of blood, say it. Say it with your mouth. Say it in your heart. Say what the Word of God says. Amen? So the first thing she did was that she said it. The second thing was, she did it. Now the didding, excuse my English, is a lot harder than the saying. Sometimes we have a real hard time with the saying because we're so used to saying other things. But listen, beloved, please listen to me. This is all so easy. It's easy as the proverbial falling off a log. This isn't hard. What I'm teaching you today is as easy can be. And it's not hard at all, as long as you feel good and your cupboards are full and your bills are paid. But let me tell you, when the battle comes is when you need this. When the battle comes is when it's not easy. That's when you got to put it into motion, is when the battle comes. It's easy until the battle comes. Amen? When the battle comes, then it isn't so easy to do what you're supposed to do. There's such a tendency to want to do the opposite. Now, it used to bother me. When I first started hearing Kenneth Hagin talk about how many years it was since he'd been sick, and now I do the same thing. It bothered me because I had this idea. I don't know where you get it. Some of you may still have it. But somehow we get this idea, oh, I would never say that. I would never say that I haven't been sick for 40 years. I would never say that. That's like challenging the devil or something, like challenging sickness. And what if it makes God mad? What if God thinks you're bragging or something? Oh, I'd never say that. And I used to think that when I'd hear, but now I say the same thing. And I was figuring out this morning in first service, as a matter of fact, while I was preaching it, but I guess it's been at least 18 years since I've had the flu. I remember the last time I had the flu, 18-some years ago. I remember being at home in that house. We had a split-level home. We had our family room on the lower level, and we were down in the family room. I was laying on the couch. We had one of those brown couches, tan couches that was a sectional, you know, and I was laying on it. I taught in a Bible college in Bloomington, Illinois. I was living in Pekin. I taught in a Bible college one night a week in Bloomington, Illinois. And I remember telling Bonnie, I said, Bonnie, you're going to have to call him. I can't go tonight. Call him and tell him I'm sick. And I remember laying on that couch with a high fever. I remember I couldn't get up. If I got up, the room did too, you know. And I remember needing the barf bag close by. I remember all of that. I remember being sick. That was my last time for the flu. Now, that's not my last time for the opportunity. But I don't take the opportunities. You see, if you're going to walk with what God says is yours, you've got to act like you have what God says you have. I remember the last time the flu tried to attack me, really tried to attack. Oh, there may be light times when you don't even remember, but this was a serious one. And it was probably somewhere in the area of about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I got up one morning in the wintertime. I got up out of bed, and when I stood up, the room just started going around like it does. I felt, you know, I felt feverish. My stomach was just in bad shape, you know, like I was going to have to find some place for something. I mean, I didn't know which way, but I knew my stomach was in bad shape. And everything in my body said, go back to bed, go back to bed, go back to bed. But I'm not going to buy into that. It always amuses me when somebody will come and they'll say, well, we missed you Wednesday night. Well, I wasn't here. I was home fighting the good fight of faith. You weren't either. You were at home waving the white flag. When you decide, oh, I don't feel good enough to get up and go, and you go back to bed, you are not fighting the fight of faith. You're waving the white flag. If you're going to walk this thing out, you're going to act like you're healed. You're not going to act like you're sick. I don't let sickness tell me what I'm going to do. I don't let symptoms tell me what I'm going to do. I tell symptoms what I'm going to do according to the Word of God, and symptoms have to come in line with what I say, because what I say is the Word of God, and I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to act it. If I'd have gone back to bed, I'd have had a typical case of the flu that would have lasted for however long that particular kind of flu was lasting. I went into the bedroom, I propped myself up against the sink and leaned there, you know, one of these, and shaved. And every moment I'm saying the word, because I felt sick. I felt like the world was going around. That's why I was leaning against the sink to hold me up. And while I'm leaning there, I'm saying the word. I'm saying what God's word says. I got in the shower and took a shower and held on to the wall, because everything was just topsy-turvy. And I kept saying what the word of God said. When I got out of the shower and got dressed, I kept saying what the word of God said. I don't remember the exact amount of time that it took. It might have been as much as 2 hours, but it wasn't any more than that. And probably I kept getting worse after I got up. I kept getting worse for about a half an hour or so. And then from there, it started going away. And within a couple hours, every symptom was gone. I was on my way. But see, beloved, what I'm telling you is if you're going to believe this thing, you're going to act it. You're not just going to talk it, you're going to do it. You're not just going to talk it, you're going to do it. If you're not doing it, you're not going to have it. Everything this woman had in front of her was a major impossibility. She didn't just have a crowd in front of her. She had phlepsis. She had a crowd that was pressing in on Jesus until it was like the crushing of a grape to make wine. And she had a major problem. She was weak. She was anemic. She was hurting in her body. She was unclean. There wasn't any reason in the world why this woman would think that it's going to be easy for her to press through and reach through to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. But she's determined, and she's saying it. I'll touch the hem of His garment, and when I do, I'll be made whole. And then she did it. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I'm telling you that when the faith battles rise, you're going to have to rise up. You're going to have to do what the Word of God says. Not just say it. You're going to have to start doing it now. You don't stop saying it, but now you start doing it. Amen? I shared last week a story of one of the ladies that we've seen healed of cancer. The church I was pastoring, her name was Mrs. Smith. Her testimony is very much like Dodie Osteen's testimony. Dodie Osteen has a book out about her healing. And her testimony was that she got down, I don't remember if it was 88, 89 pounds, 90 pounds, but it was right in there. The doctor had given her only the matter of a couple of months to live. And she decided, she's not going to die. I'm going to live and not die. And she stood in the Word of God. She believed the Word of God. She acted on the Word of God. That's the same way this lady that I was telling you about did. They told her she'd die within 3 months. And she was determined, I'll live and not die. If she'd have gone to bed, which is what she felt like doing, she'd have died. She could have laid in bed and she could have laid there and continued to say, with His stripes I was healed, with His stripes I was healed, with His stripes I was healed. But she had to do it. And she said, I went back to work. I was so weak in body, she said, honestly, Pastor, I was so weak in body that there were times I'd walk across the living room floor and I'd fall halfway across the floor. I'd fall in the middle of the floor. And I'd get up and praise the Lord that with Jesus' stripes I was healed. 5 years later, I had her on the television program I had to share the testimony of her healing and of divine health that she was walking in. I'm telling you, we serve a God who's a God of healing. But if you're going to receive that healing, you've got to follow the steps of faith. You've got to follow the steps. And the steps of faith is, number one, you believe. And number two, you act like you believe. Or in other words, you say it and then you do it. You've got to do it. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this? This is why I do a healing line the way I do. I've changed dramatically the way I do healing lines. Now, we had 3 people that came up in the first service, and none of them were things that we could see immediate manifestation for. I know that I'm going to get a report. I know I am. 2 weeks ago, when I was in Harlingen, I prayed for one lady that came up, and she said, every morning when I get up, I hurt everywhere. She said, I walk around the house, and she said, I can't hardly walk because I'm in so much pain. Every area of my body hurts. Every step I take, I hurt everywhere I walk around the house. I said, well, did you bring any of that pain with you now? Do you have any of it in your body now? She said, no, it's just in the mornings. Well, you can't act on that now. See, I mean, all you can do is pray. But I prayed for her. I said, you're not going to have that anymore. That's done now. And I think that was the Saturday night service, Sunday morning, when I got to the healing line. I said, where's the woman I prayed for last night? That every morning when she gets up, she had all that pain. And I don't think she was there, but her mother was. And her mother, I said, how was she when she got up this morning? She said, oh, she was fine, no pain at all. Well, see, I couldn't test it then, but I came back with what I could do, and I tested it by asking her in the very next service what had happened. And sure enough, there was no pain there. The pain was gone. She was healed. Oh, hallelujah. Are you getting a hold of this thing, beloved? I'm telling you what, you can walk and live in divine health. You can live and not die. You can receive your healing. You can live long life and have peace and the blessing of God while you're living that life. But you've got to learn to do the Word. And the Word says that first of all, you say it and then you do it. You act like you have it. You act like it's done. That's why sowing brings the miracles of finances into your life. The last most irrational thing to do if you don't have enough money is to give away some of what you do have. It makes it a total act of trust and faith that you just have to totally say, this doesn't make any sense in the natural for me to give away what I have when I don't have enough. But God said it. I believe God for the miracle. He said if I'd sow it, I'd get increase back. And I'm sowing it and believing God. You say it and then you do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen in your life. This woman with the issue of blood didn't just say, if I can touch his hem of his garment. She was determined, it doesn't matter what I'm going to have to work through. Doesn't matter how hard I'm going to have to work. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And when I do, I will be made whole. The third thing is, after she said it and after she did it, she received it. Now, I can't tell you how important that step is, but it's very important. It's important that you receive it into your life, that you accept it into your life. You receive what God is doing and what God has promised. You receive that healing. Now, I could teach a long time on this point because there's a lot of things about it. Number one is that you need to remember that you were healed not when you were in the prayer line. You were healed 2,000 years ago. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says, and with His stripes you are healed. Are healed. Why? Because I was looking forward to the cross. And because the cross was still ahead, and I'm believing in His stripes I was healed, I'm having to look forward to that. I'm having to look forward to it. And so when I look forward to it, I receive it. I are healed now. With us, it's the matter that our healing took place at the cross 2,000 years ago, and when we look back to the whipping post, with His stripes we were healed. We were healed 2,000 years ago. We were healed 2,000 years ago. We were healed. I was doing my radio tapes yesterday for this coming week, and I'm doing a series on faith on the radio that I preached in Harrington, Kansas about 2 years ago. It was in February of 97. And I was listening to those tapes myself, of course, as I was editing them and putting them on for the radio. And I was listening to myself telling about the story about Holyfield receiving the healing from his heart. This was right after one of his fights with Tyson. I don't remember if it was the fight or the bite, but it was right after one of them. And when he had won the championship. But see, before that fight, the first fight with Tyson that he had, before that fight, the last fight he had, the doctor had given him some medicine that did destruction in his heart. And he was not supposed to ever fight again. But God healed him of it. He's in Creflo Dollars Church. He goes to Creflo Dollars, which is Word of Faith. And so you know he's hearing faith. He ended up going to a Benny Hinn service. And he went to Brother Dollar, and he said, I've heard about this guy, Benny Hinn. Would it be okay for me? Would it be good for me or what if I went to one of his services? And Creflo said, no, it'd be great for you to go to his service. Go ahead and go to your service. Well, when he was there, his healing was manifested in his heart, and he was totally healed. And you know now, I mean, he's in there in health and winning the championship and holding that championship belt as the heavyweight champion of the world. And God just totally gave him a new heart and healed his heart. Well, there was an interview on one of the sports channels, and they were interviewing Holyfield's brother, who also is a born-again faith, Word of Faith guy. And they said, well, we understand now that Evander believes that Benny Hinn healed him and that he was healed in one of Benny Hinn's services. And he said, no, that's not true at all. He said, first of all, Benny Hinn can't heal anybody. But he said, he doesn't say that he was healed in a Benny Hinn service. And they thought they had a scoop. They said, he doesn't? And they said, no. He says that he was healed 2,000 years ago by Jesus' stripes, and that in a Benny Hinn service, he received a new heart and it was manifested. I mean, he's got a hold of this thing, don't you know it? And that's why he's walking in it, is because he's understanding. All we do now is receive. See, when you come up for prayer, it's important how you come. If you come like this is going to be a major struggle and I'm going to struggle with this thing and I'm going to receive what I have need of, you're going to have a frustrating time. I was in a prayer line here a while back and I had somebody come up in the prayer line, and when I came to them, they told me what their need was and they said, and I'm not leaving here till I have it. Well, it's kind of like your faith is in being there. And I prayed for the for her, and after a couple choruses, where I made some comments and was talking, just kind of wrapping it up, and she went on back without a healing manifested in her body. Well, what happened there? What's that all about? See, when you come, all you can do is just receive. You just come and receive. It's like your arms are open, and now God's going to lay it right into your arms, and you're just going to take it and bring it right into your body. You just come to receive. There isn't anything you can do. You understand that it takes a perseverance, a persistence to press in. I'm not suggesting that it doesn't take that, but I'm saying that as you press in, all you do is receive what the Lord has already done for your life. Amen? Now the fourth step is that you tell it. This woman did not want to tell it. Four steps like the first step. Except the first step, when you're telling it or saying it, you're saying it within yourself, for yourself, saying it to God, declaring it as a matter of faith. But then after the healing is manifested, then you tell it. It's the sharing of it, the speaking forth of it, that does something in your faith. Now, you know, I minister in the healing gifts in our services very often, or when I go out, I do that. And very often, at the close of the service, I will ask, at the close of the healing time, I'll say, now, who has had a healing manifested in your body? Raise your hand. And many times, after they've raised their hand, I'll say, all right, what was it? What was it? What was it? What was it? Many times when I do that, I've had people where they don't raise their hands. I was in Harrington, I think it was in that meeting in February of 97, and I had ministered in the word of knowledge of several healings. I think I'd called out about five healings. And I said, now, who's received a healing? No hands went up. I said, who received one of those? I know that I know. I said, in particular, who received? And I named one, because the way the Holy Spirit had showed me that healing was very, very unique. And I said, who received that? No hands. I said, I know somebody received it. Who received it? Come on. And nobody. So I turned the service on over to Pastor, and I went over and stood by Bonnie, and I leaned over to her and I said, you watch. It won't be 30 seconds from the time he dismisses, I'm going to have somebody up here telling me they were the one that received that. You watch. And sure enough, he closed out the service. About 20 seconds later, I hear this woman standing in front of me, and she said, Pastor Callahan? I said, yeah. She said, I received at least two of those healings that you called out. But she said, I don't like people to know all my business, so I didn't raise my hand. Well, you know, that has nothing to do with your business. That's God's business. And it's important that you give glory to God for the work that He has done. Why don't people raise their hand? Sometimes they raise their hand because they think, well, I'm not sure yet. It's gone now, but I'm not sure yet. It's kind of like I called out a healing one time, and a woman came to me after the service, and she said, I think that was me. And I said, well, did it hurt there before I called it out? Yes. Did it hurt there while you were in the service? Yes. after I called it out, did it quit hurting and the pain go away? Yes. It was you. I mean, you know, how I don't. Why do I even ask? You know, the reason I ask is because you're not skeptical, but there are always skeptics there. And there are always people that will be in a congregation that will say, well, anybody could get up there and say God's healing you. I didn't see anybody healed. Didn't see anybody act like the God healed. Anybody could say that. And so that's why I ask, is because what happens is the Lord shows about half dozen healings. I say, who got a healing? And they'll say, I got that one, 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 I got that one. And then I usually check when they say it and say, it's gone? Yeah, it's gone. And then it's a clincher, see, to the ones who would be in here and say, well, anybody could do that, anybody could say that. It's the confirmation. But see, Jesus stopped the whole crowd so that this woman would tell it. She didn't want to tell it. She wanted to go on her own way and be blessed and not tell it. I mean, after all, what if I stop in the midst of this crowd and say, I just been healed. I could feel the hemorrhaging stop in my body. I've just been healed. And then what if tomorrow it starts up again and I told everybody I got healed? I'd look like a fool right about then. What does that tell you about what's probably going to happen about tomorrow? What's that tell you that your faith is at? How is your faith acting? You better stand up and say, it was me. I received that. It's gone. I don't have it anymore. Amen? Sure, the devil may well try. That's why I'm teaching you all I'm teaching you. See, you can come up into a healing line and receive your healing and have the problem go away. But if you don't know how to walk in faith, when the devil comes back knocking and saying, hey, I've got that back for you again, you won't know what to do with it. How many of you have ever received a healing and it wasn't long, maybe a day, maybe not even a day, maybe a couple of days, till the symptoms start coming back again? Raise your hand. Most everybody in here has got a hand up. And what happens? The first thing that comes to mind is this. Oh, man. I thought I was healed of that. My symptoms all left. I thought I was healed. And I even told people, I'm going to look like a fool. No, you're not. Not unless you accept it back. I mean, that's when you have to make your stand. The Bible says in Nahum chapter 1 and verse number 9, the affliction shall not return the second time. And you need to learn how to stand on the Word of God. That can't return the second time. That's impossible. God said in His Word, it'll not return the second time and I'll not take it back. It can't come back on me the second time. You're not allowed. You need to treat that affliction like it's a cat that's an outside cat. You have any outside cats? You know what I mean by an outside cat? It's a cat that you keep outside, but every time you open the door, it comes in the house. Amen? And as soon as you can catch him, you put him back out of the house because he don't belong inside. And that's exactly the way you need to treat those symptoms. When the symptoms try to come in, treat them like an outside cat. You catch those things and say, you don't belong in this house. You don't belong in my body, and I'll not receive you. I'll not allow you to be in here. You got to get out of here. And you don't receive them back into your life. You got to learn how to walk faith so you can stand faith. Amen? I'm telling you what, beloved, you don't have to have sickness in your body. You don't have to have illness in your body. You don't have to have anything that you're fighting through right now. You can walk into the divine health and walk into the divine healing and have it. But you got to believe what God says, and you got to say it. And then you got to do it. And then you got to receive it. And then you got to tell it. You share it abroad. You share with others what the Lord has done. Listen to me. I will give you a guarantee. I will guarantee this. Listen to me. This is not a suggestion. This is not a strong suggestion. This is a guarantee. The devil will never hit you with an attack physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, in your family. He'll never hit you with an attack, but what he also will hit you with thought. And the devil doesn't come and give you a negative thought once a day when you're in a battle. It's like he's got this machine gun. And the machine gun is full of doubt words. And he sits right up there by your earlobe and sticks it into your head. And as fast as you can put down one, he shoots another. Another, 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 another. And you're saying, I'll not receive that. I'm healed. Oh, you're going to die. You know your uncle died of this. I'll not receive that. I'm not going to die. I'll live and not die. But you know you hurt awful bad. You've never hurt this bad. Well, I'll not receive that in my body. The Lord declares what I am. Yeah, but notice where it's hurting. It's hurting close to your heart. And I'll not receive that. Do you know how many men your age die of heart attacks? Not this man. I have, you know. And as fast as you can put one down, the devil shoots another. And he keeps on and he keeps on. And he suggests to you failure. He suggests to you premature death. He suggests to you sickness. And you're going to fight an all-out attack that the devil's going to wage against you. And that's when you got to keep saying it, doing it, saying it, doing it, saying it, doing it, and receive it. And when you've received it, you tell it. You tell it. You share it abroad what Jesus has done. Now, I don't have time for this next point, but that's never stopped me before, has it? And I know I'm not going to get into this very far, but I'm going to introduce it to you. I'm going to give you as much as I gave first service, and that's just a few minutes, but it's important. It's what the Holy Spirit worked on me all night long on. And so it's got to be important enough that I share some of it. And I think I'm going to go on with this tonight. That's one thing about this series running the way it is. I can go ahead and pick this up tonight, and we'll go on with this as well as where we're going the rest of the message tonight. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm anxious to start a third service. Won't it be great? I'm not sure when we'll do it. Praise God. My wife said, why don't you consider just having the first service go till 10 o'clock and not starting the second service till 10:15? I said, because then I'd teach till 10:15. You know, I mean, I can't help myself. I just can't help myself. Did you find 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Let's start reading at verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are differences or diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's the gifts of the Spirit are given to us, to all of us, to profit all of us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Listen, I'm thinking of this, so let me say it while I'm thinking of it. Apparently somebody needs it. Many times people have wondered, if the gifts of healing and the power of healing is so true, then why do you find somebody who operated and flowed so strong in the gifts of healing like Catherine Kuhlman, and then she died of cancer? Why would that be? What many make the mistake of doing is instead, that's what Kenneth Hagin said when he said to the Word of Faith guys, I'll be alive a lot longer than the rest of you. Because he did not depend on the gifts of the Spirit for his own health. He knew how to get his healing by faith. And so whenever the devil would try to come against him or anything would come against him, he'd stand by faith and receive his healing. He would not allow any of that stuff to come into his body or into his life. Are you following me? And what happens is that many of them know very well how to flow in their gift of healing. They operate in faith in that gift, but they don't know how to walk the faith to receive personal healing. And the gifts are to profit with all, not within. The gifts of the Spirit are we're channels that the gift flows out of us into others. Follow me? I have never known the gifts of the Spirit, these nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit, I've never known them to flow in. I've never known them to flow in for healing into my own life. It flows out for healing to other people's lives and so on. So anyway, verse number 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings. And in the original Greek, both of those two words are plural. Gifts of healings. The reason is because there are different gifts and different healings. There are some that will flow in anointing for healing in a certain way. They'll have gifts that will operate in certain ways, and others will have gifts that will operate in another way. But there are gifts of healings. And the same thing is true by, in the next one here, to another, the working of miracles. Both of those are plural, workings of miracle. Different ways that they work and different kinds of miracles that come. I've talked about that a little bit. And actually, I talked about it, I think, on Wednesday night when I was dealing with the seven ways. One of the ways that healing comes is through the gift of healing. Or through the gifts of healings. Different people operate in different gifts in different ways. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirit. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, what I want us to see out of that is this. I've taught many times on the gifts of the Spirit. The lessons on the gifts of the Spirit are great lessons. Very valuable to us to learn. There are three areas of gifts of the Spirit. There's the manifestation, the motivation, and the ministry gifts. All three of those areas are very important areas of giftings that are in our lives. I've always taught it, like I've always learned myself, that the motivation gifts are your gifts. You possess them. They're yours. That's just who you are. It becomes part of your personality. Maybe you're a server, somebody who is a helper. Maybe you're a giver, somebody that not only gives, but you see the needs for giving. Maybe you're somebody that's great in administration, or I like to use the word a facilitator. That's who you are. That's part of your personality. The ministry gifts belong to you. When you're given the gift of pastor, you're a pastor whether you're in bed, sleeping, or whether you're up in front preaching, or whether you're visiting. You're always a pastor. That follows you. It's your gift. But we've always taught it in the circles that I came from that the manifestation gifts are not, you don't possess a manifestation gift. You are used in a manifestation gift. And then the suggestion being that if I had the gifts of healings, if I possessed that gift, then wherever I went, I could like go into the hospital and empty the hospital or whatever. Well, first of all, we cannot eliminate the importance of faith being involved in the ministry of the gifts. Wherever Jesus went, He ministered in the gifts. And it says that He marveled when He went to Nazareth because He could do no mighty miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. But we have to understand that Jesus operated in the gifts of healings. And I want you to go with me to John chapter 3. You've got to see this. It's very important that you look at this. So go with me to John chapter 3. And if you don't have a King James Bible, if somebody near to you has one, read off of theirs with them. And get yourself a real Bible. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I wasn't serious. John 3:34. I really am just kidding. There's a lot of good translations. Verse number 34, John chapter 3. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now, I've used that in the past myself and have brought out the fact that what Jesus did in all these great miracles that Jesus did, He did because the Bible says there in John 3:34 that the Father gave Him the Spirit without measure. Do you know what that means? It means that when we operate in the gifts of the Spirit, God will, as the Spirit wills, He will use us in that gift. In other words, I can't come up and say, "Well, listen, I flow in the gifts of healings, and I'll be glad to pray with you." I can't do that because the gift of healing might not be flowing right then. The will of God may not be for that to flow right at that time, and so I can't do it. And that's what I've always taught. That's what I always preach. But see, Jesus operated in the gifts of healings, and wherever Jesus went, it flowed. Jesus could do it whenever He wanted. And the reason is because He received the Spirit without measure. There was no limitation. The Spirit was given unto Him without measure. But now we know the laws You know the laws. You're word taught. You know the laws of interpreting the Word of God. And what is the law if the words are italicized? They're not there in the original. If they're not there in the original, read it and leave them out. See if it changes the meaning of it. And here's what it says. The last half of the verse. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure. Didn't say unto him. The translator said unto him. This says that he gives the Spirit without measure. He doesn't go around and say, okay, I'll give you so much. Listen, here's what I believe, and I believe it with every fiber of my being. I believe that Dino has as much of the anointing as he believes out of him. I don't believe he has the anointing given to him by measure. I don't believe that I have the anointing given to me by measure. However much I've grown, however much I've learned to exercise, however much I learned to step out on is going to flow out of my life. And I also believe that all nine of these gifts of the Spirit, when God gives you one of those gifts, it's yours to draw on, and you can draw on it wherever you are. Amen. This is happening last night. I mean, this is going on in my spirit all night long, all night long. Every time I'm waking up, this is going on in my spirit. I believe that we have to learn how to walk it by faith. We have to learn how to release it by faith. We have to learn how to exercise it by faith. I'm not one. See, the Bible says that everyone ministers their gift according to the measure of faith that's in them. And so as the gift operates in you, that measure of the faith that you have is what's... You can't operate these gifts without faith, believe me. You know, one of them I get real uncomfortable with is prophecy. I don't mind, you know, standing up here and giving a word of prophecy to the body when the Holy Spirit gives me a word of prophecy. But I'll tell you, when it comes to one-on-one prophesying to people, that makes me a little bit nervous. And I don't usually make a demand on that gift unless we're doing an ordination service. I don't hardly ever make a demand on that. Otherwise, it just comes up when things come up, you know. When the Holy Spirit tells me something about somebody or gives me a word of knowledge about something, it comes up. But when we do ordination service and we minister over these men and their wives, I've had several of these wives come. I've never met them before the ordination service. And then I'm standing there and I'm seeing things about their lives. I'm seeing it in my spirit man. And in the back of my mind, it's coming like this. If you're wrong, you're going to look like a fool. If that's just you thinking that, and it may be, then when you say that, you are going to look like a fool. Are you sure you want to say that? And believe me, it takes some faith to step out on whatever gift you're operating on. And the more you learn how to walk your gift by faith, the more that gift's going to flow in your life. Now, I believe that's exactly the way it happened. When we read in here that Jesus went about, and when He'd go into certain areas and He'd start to minister to their sick, every one of them would get healed. What was He doing? He was operating under that gift of healing, under the anointings of healings. Amen? And those gifts were flowing in His life. They were flowing in His life. Kenneth Hagin, whenever Kenneth Hagin begins to minister to the sick, he always, the Lord instructed him to do this. And he didn't do it for a long time. But then he started getting sick in his own body one time. And the Lord told him, I told you that you were to pray for the sick. I told you that I've sent you to minister to the sick. And he told him every time that he got up before he prayed for the sick, he was to tell about the time the Lord appeared to him and touched him in his hands and put healing power in his hands and said, when you lay hands on people and pray for them, if they'll believe it, they'll receive their healing when you lay hands on them. Oral Roberts talks about the healing power of God that flows through his right hand, that when he lays his right hand on people, the power of God flows through his hand. Others that walk in healing gifts and healing anointing. I believe that it's important that we understand our gifts, that we understand the anointing. We need to understand, everybody in here needs to understand that you're anointed to pray for the sick. You're charged and commissioned and anointed by God to lay hands on the sick, and you need to do that. When you find people that are sick, you need to ask for the opportunity and lay your hands on them. But there is another step beyond that, where it's the gifts of healing that operate in a person's life. And those gifts of healing are given to the Spirit of God as He wills. As He chooses, He gives those gifts of healings. That's one of the things I've sought all my life. It's one of the things I prayed for all of my ministry. And I'm starting to understand more about it. God is giving me more revelation. I'm seeing it operating in my life more than I've ever seen it before. And I'm hungrier than I've ever been in my life. It was a year and a half ago that we were at Bobby Jean's meeting in Atlanta. And Suzanne Hinn was there, Benny Hinn's wife. And if you've never met Suzanne, you're missing it. She's quite a woman. She's very strong, spiritually strong, very strong in faith, a strong person of prayer, and she's a real backbone for Benny Hinn. You may not see her around much, but believe me, she's a major backbone for her. And Bobby Jean had her come up. She ended up ministering that night and preaching, and it was good stuff. It was rich stuff. When she was doing the prayer line, I don't remember even what she called in the prayer line. I think she called for pastors to come, but I don't remember. And as we lined up in the prayer line, she came down the prayer line, she and Bobby Jean, and they'd come down and touch each one and pray for each one. And when she got to me, she didn't know me. I don't know her. I'd seen her twice. I think twice in person, both times at Bobby Jean's. But I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And when she came and stood in front of me, she got ready to pray for me. And then she stopped and she said, "You have a healing anointing in your life." And then she laid hands on me. Well, that was just confirmation to me. I knew that God was doing that. I'd sought it so long. I went down, and instead of going on the next person, she got down on her knees beside me, and she said, "I'm telling you, you've got healing in your hands." Well, I believe that. I don't question that. But see, that confirmation, knowing you have, knowing what God has separated you to, and then put faith in the gifts that God has in your life, is an essential key if the gifts are to flow and if you're to see what God has called you to see accomplished in your life. Amen. I think God's having me preach this series for me. You can't be getting as much out of it as I am. I'm getting out of this series a whole bunch. Amen. When we see God, the healer, and how Jesus said, "The works that I do, will you do also, and greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father." God is giving those gifts into the church. He's given the gifts, and now He wants those gifts to rise up in the church, and He wants to see His power demonstrated through the gifts of the Spirit and through the anointing, hallelujah, in the body of Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Let's stand together, shall we?